You're listening to the WGXC Afternoon Show. This is Sarah Kendall. I'm here with Greg Osofsky, and we have got Dharma Daly on the line now, who is up in Haines Falls. Dharma, can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We've got you.
Hello.
Hello. You're in Haines Falls. And I've been seeing photographs that you've been sending us all day, and they've been some of the most they've looked like some of the most severe documentation that I've seen, just in terms of quantity of rushing water. And one of the pictures I saw was at the front of your door, water coming up to your door.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing up there?
We're hanging in. So for people that don't know, Haines Falls is part of the town of Hunter. So the easternmost part of the town of Hunter, where the Catterskill Falls is. And a lot of what your earlier guests were talking about really is germane to us, because this is, we did have some folks in just that vicinity, and I was within walking distance, so I wasn't driving around. Those pictures, I don't know if you put them up on the website, but they're all within about an eighth of a mile of my house. You can see some of my neighbors had some really extreme experiences with this storm. However, this is the third time this year that I've experienced flooding. So it's a little bit, especially your last guest, I was like, wow, thank you. Somebody that's sort of has some answers, that can kind of explain what's going on and what we're experiencing here.
So if this is the third, how have your preparatory processes changed? Like, it, thinking about what to do with impending rainfall like that, when there's only so much you can do in terms of preparation. Have you become more prepared flood after flood, or is at some point you just throw your arms up?
Yeah, I pretty much was throwing my arms up today. I mean, to be fair, we ourselves have really experienced a pretty limited amount of damage. Our driveway is washed out, so we're picking gravel out of the perennial beds to put in the driveway, and we had water in our basement. And we've got some erosion around our foundation. And that's something that we've experienced several times. But as I drove up my road, I see the same kind of damage to dozens of houses. And I can only extrapolate from that that there's probably hundreds of miles of similar damage just in our county, where people's driveways are washed out and your basement's flooded and so on. And my neighbors and I deal with that, you know, pretty regularly now. And what, I've only lived here for 7 years, so I don't know, what it was like 15 years ago before these things came common, but, it has been a challenge as we've been trying to deal with the county and try to find out, you know, what our options are. Right now, we just kind of, my neighbors and I, every time it rains, we just go, oh gosh, you start getting nervous. But this is the worst that we've had, not only since I've been here, but my neighbor that owns Twilight General Store said that in her 38 years of living here, it's the worst that she's seen.
And what kind of support is available? City, county, neighbor?
Yeah, so the first and best resource for information has been WRIP, which is out of Windham. And pretty much any time that there's any kind of power outage or any kind of extreme weather or anything like that going on in the mountaintop, WRIP does a really excellent job. And unfortunately, in our hollow, I can't get them. But they have really been, for local stuff, to find out that, for example, there's a water advisory in the town of Tannersville and in Hunter, all those kind of details, where to go if you're evacuating, all that kind of stuff. They've been the one thing that we've we've had up here that really covered locally. We haven't had phone. The communication services were down. So even the radio communication towers for the emergency responders were down as of this morning. So we just got out. We didn't have electricity. We just went over to the town firehouse to sort of find out what was going on. But since all the communications were down, basically, like, this is the first your show has been the most informative thing I've heard today. I did go out to look up at Glen Park Road. I sent you pictures of the bridge that's washed out on Glen Park Road, and there's about six houses above there who only have access where that bridge has been washed out. So they're on the other side of the bridge waiting to get out. And about 3 o'clock, knowing that I was going to be talking to you, I just went up the road to talk to the road crew up there because I know they have radio communication. And they're just as confused as I am, pretty much. They said they had no idea how many bridges were out in the town. They had heard that Platte Clove Road is open, but no one is quite sure. The gentleman I spoke with, the foreman, said that he was aware of one fatality in Lanesville. So that was the only fatality he'd heard of. But he said that he'd just heard about a rescue crew going into East Jewett to rescue some campers up there. So it's just, you know, it's just the confusion of being in the eye of a storm.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing. I feel like this is such old news, but I am not really a social media user, and this is the first time I've been engaged in on a Twitter feed. And I feel a little bit blown over by the how amazing crowdsource journalism is and can be. And the only thing that kind of tempers my excitement is the fact that it's still kind of a it's not necessarily the most, it's not necessarily used by everyone. I'm not really a Twitter user and have a certain, and feel kind of like, oh, that's too fast for me, or that's too soundbitey for me. But I guess you guys had no internet for a while either.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I did definitely, it was strange. This is the first time that the phone lines have gone down for us, and all the phone lines went down. So there was no cell service. I don't know if we have cell service, but Wyndham had cell service. So, yeah, so you're sort of hearing reports from the places where people can call into WRIP and say, here's what's going on, which they could do, for example, with your caller in Maple Crest.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't do on our side. So there's just like this information, you know, gap in places depending on what kind of information and resources are available. So I was definitely looking at Facebook and the CBS out of Albany. People had, that was one place that a lot of people were posting to the Facebook page on the CBS Albany station yesterday. But then, you know, we lost power and internet. And I don't know what that bodes in terms of how, you know, my fear would be that would control how resources are, that when, you know, disaster money is being allocated, that maybe the people that have the biggest pictures or the most video or something might draw attention. And there's definitely, like you said, there's some really dramatic things. I watched the cottage down the street from me wash away. But Tannersville, the lower part of Tannersville, I guess, had some pretty severe flooding, and people had to be evacuated and are not back in their homes, all of them. So, yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I do wonder, the one other question I have has to do with a woman that called in earlier today who was talking to us about the communities that form out of disaster, and saying that this was the first time that she had ever spoken to her neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Cairo, but she was saying this was the first time she had the nerve to go and knock on her neighbor's door. They've been longtime neighbors, but haven't ever overlapped. And I'm wondering if there's been a on the ground camaraderie out of this that is. Maybe, I don't know, not every day.
You know, it's funny because on the mountaintop, I mean, we do get extreme weather a lot. So I probably had more of those experiences than maybe somebody down in the valley gets. So I do know quite a lot of my neighbors on the street. And we were definitely out en masse yesterday, kind of just walking around, looking at the damage, checking in on each other. And many people came by. Well, several. I mean, it's not that big a village, but a lot of people did come by and said to check on me when they saw the water rising around my house. So, yeah, I do think that that's true. And I do wonder, I mean, I guess that for me, that next level of what's next, because as I'm looking at it, like I said, I mean, there's a lot, like hundreds, maybe thousands of miles of damage. That's kind of the minor damage, but is the what normally deals with storm runoff. So all the pipes along all the along our road, for example, are all washed out. And then there's these major washouts, like the all of our bridges that take us in and out of our town. So I mean, obviously they're going to try to repair all of the bridges so that we can get in and out of Hunter. But then we're not really prepared for the next storm. So people who maybe weren't vulnerable now are going to be more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. You know, my neighbors and I were walking, I was talking to all of them and we are concerned about the next, you know, we're thinking about the next storm, and that's kind of how we have to think up here. And so those resources that you mentioned, I really hope that you'll post them on the website about people to contact. And I think it's a great service to be thinking about this in terms of development, because we really need to, at this point, my neighbors and I are all sure we're going to contact our representatives and, we're going to draft a letter together, tomorrow, but what do we ask for? Mm-hmm. I don't know what the right thing is to ask for. I don't know how we, you know, manage the scope of this. And, you know, my house has been here since the 1870s, and it was designed to handle some water, but it wasn't designed to handle flood water three times a year. And I don't know what you do about that. You know, I mean, this is not an island off the coast, you know.
Right. Well, it's part of what struck me about our conversation with Ira McIntosh also was that it wasn't only about what to do in an emergency, but how to shift our consciousness or something how to think about the future in a way that's really grounded in these realities. And I don't know what that means in terms of your representative or our policies or whatever it is, but it does require. It requires some pretty serious reflection about what we know we can anticipate.
Well, that brings me to something that we could maybe think about as a community around WJXC, which is how do you sustain when this story is old news tomorrow or next week? How do you sustain that conversation? Mm-hmm. Because it's really something that is going to take months or years to work out. And I have no idea who gets to decide what gets repaired first or how those repairs happen or how we make any determination about what's sufficient, right, for what we need, when it seems like I'm convinced that these severe weather events are our new normal. And I don't know who's grappling with that at the infrastructure level in our local governments. And knowing that Vermont is dealing with this and really the whole Northeast, it's just really hard to get my head around.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's just a real, really powerful learning moment for both us as a station and as a story, you know, creator and builder in this community. We're trying to figure out what role, what messages aren't getting heard, and certainly the community voice around these kinds of issues is something that we really need to focus on and hone in on, because it's something that not everybody is actually talking about or even knows what outlets there are to engage in this conversation. So I think what you're saying is incredibly important. And it definitely, as for my role at WGXC, it definitely reaffirms the need to get much more connected to what's happening politically and policy, or what, you know, how policy is shaped and how decisions are made.
Well, I want to thank you guys, because the level of anxiety that I had today, I didn't really realize how much I was carrying until I started listening to the show, and sort of heard what you guys had prepared, and it was really great to just have some kind of information and context for what's going on with my neighbors, as little as it is. But I really appreciate the approach that you guys have taken, and I encourage you to post that whatever practical information you have in that regard about who to contact and what to contact, and your take on anything that you think might be useful in moving the conversation forward would be really helpful. Because I know for me, I'm going to be back out trying to get my parking space going, and I'm not going to be able to be glued to my radio stream. Having a little bit of memory about those things would be really helpful.
Well, thanks, Dharma. Thanks for talking to us. Good luck with your, good luck with everything up there.
Thanks so much. Thank you for your show.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Dharma. Again, that was Dharma Daly speaking to us from Hunter. Is that correct?
She's in the town of she's in Haines Falls, which is in Hunter. And she's someone, she's a local, sage. She's a super wise woman, specifically about information technologies and infrastructures. And I do think thinking about the long-term planning that can come out of this kind of state of emergency does have to do with how to build an information infrastructure that can withhold this kind of devastation too. So for the station, it's, you know, recognizing what we need in place in order to stay functioning without power here or without power at our transmitter site. What our alternative options are. This is the first time we had experienced a test like that, and we were not prepared.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were not prepared. It was definitely a big learning moment for me as we approached the storm. I really didn't know what information resources there were that were out there. I was, you know, checking the New York newspapers, and, you know, I checked the Poughkeepsie Journal, but I wasn't really sure how to get it more localized. So how to figure those things out, that's the conversation that we're having. We're figuring it out on the fly. You're listening to WGXC. We're going to try to have another couple guests before the end of our hour.
And the person that I'm anxious to get on the line, although it might not happen today, it might be sometime this week, is Mick Bessar, who's at the Cornell